This morning, the scripture lesson is the gospel lesson found in St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, and I want to read verses 14 through 30. Will you hear these words? For it is if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over the 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents, and see, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping what you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here what you have is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers and earned on my return. I would have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him. He gave it to the one who had 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. From those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for the worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Using what you have, let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditations, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our redeemer. And the people of God say, Amen. A young man was dating a young woman, and he said to her, If I had 100 arms, I would use each one to hold you. And if I had 100 lips, I would use each one to kiss you. And if I had 100 mouths, I would use each one to say, I love you. The young woman, growing weary of all of this, replied, Man, just use what you have. I guess it is very much a part of life If we were a singer, we would love to sing as well as someone else. We could be making an adequate living, but oh, what it would be like to be rich. Last Sunday, in watching the Broncos game, I had a feeling that we had a collective feeling that if only Jake Plummer was like Michael Vick. Yes, it is very much a part of life to think, if only. And so it becomes a reality that we must find for ourselves to use what we have. Where does this reality begin? It begins by realizing that we have something. If you read all of Matthew 25, you discover the ideas behind the parable of the talents. It's told in three different ways. And there is the underlying theme that a resource has been shared, a gift has been given, and the task becomes in each case for the person to use what they have been given. It is very explicit in the parable of the talents. For the master gives one servant five, another servant two, and to another one. We cannot leave out the fact that each one received according to his ability. We cannot ignore this, because what God calls us to do, God also equips us to do it. And ministry comes alive when we discover our gifts and commit them to the glory of God. A fellow pastor was sharing with me this week, and he said, "Aaron, I've got a problem." I said, "What is that?" He said, "My church wants me to be more involved in the music ministry." I said, "What's the problem?" He said, "I'm tone deaf." For what God calls for us, God also equips us. And so the person with two talents, or the person with one talent, does not have to be envious of the person who received five. And the one who received five talents used it. He made five more, and the master says to him, "Well done." And the one who received the two talents used it. He made two more, and the master said, "Well done." But then the parable shifts to the one who received the one talent. I believe there is a message here for us. And this message has much to say about who we are as stewards of God. Who we are as stewards of God today, both as individuals and as collectively as the community of faith. I want us to picture the one talent as a responsibility that God has provided. And this responsibility comes with a principle that we must use it, even if it does not seem like much. Much as we are using it, God then can take it and multiply it. And what seems like little becomes so much. So much that it becomes a blessing to all who it is shared with. Our responsibility is a challenge for each of us. This principle of using what we have speaks then to other parts of our faith. We talk about love, and yet love does not come alive until it is put into action. We can all sing Amazing Grace, yet this grace, it's not cheap. This grace involves sacrifice. Well, what keeps us from using that one talent? What keeps us from taking it and burying it in the ground? What keeps us from just standing still? For one thing, it's comfortable. It's comfortable. So many in Jesus' time were upset because he challenged them with the unknown. He would take the status quo and shake it. Jesus said, "You have heard it said of old, but I say unto you." William Barclay wrote that in times there is like a paralysis in the religious truth. The religious truth of Jesus' day. And Jesus was daring them with adventure. Another thing that keeps us from using what we have is the fear of failure. Someone said, "No one learns to make the right decisions without being free to make the wrong ones." Charles Colson, from that time of Watergate, he wrote in his book, Loving God, "The real legacy of my life is my biggest failure. That I was an ex-convict, my greatest humiliation being sent to prison, was the beginning of God's greatest use of my life. He chose the experience in which I could not glory for God's glory." As we are preparing now for our first full year together and seeking God's direction and wanting to raise all kinds of resources, all kinds of resources by giving our time, our presence, our service, and yes, our gifts, there will be failure along the way. And why is this message of using what we have so important? It is because our community and our world needs what we have. I was not going to tell you last Sunday to vote, and I sure wasn't going to tell you who to vote for. I know you didn't need me to tell you that. But we today can all share that there are wounds all around us. And each of us in our own way has come to know Christ as a healer. And so we must minister each to the other. And I believe that it is this experience of healing that allows us to share the experience of someone else. And to take it one step further, we have been given the message of good news the message of good news. That in Christ there is no Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male or female. And yes, to bring it a little closer to home, no longer blue states or red states. This is the message that we must carry. And our stewardship, all of our gifts, we must use them. And I believe that it can make a difference in our world. We are called then to use what we have. And I believe that as we are using what we have, we can hear those words, "Well done! Well done! Well done! Amen."